Hello, and welcome back to Lit AF Relationships with me, your host, Sarah Cohan. I'm a relationship and communication coach, and I help people with communication tools like setting boundaries, sharing needs, so that you are creating healthy relationships, whether that's you're single and you're looking for someone that is going to be in a healthy relationship with you, or if you're in a relationship and you're creating strong, healthy, secure methods of communication. Today, I'm talking about the topic of how to know if it's time to end things or if you're just being avoidant. And I am so excited to talk about this topic because I have several clients right now that are going through this. They're questioning themselves. And this question is actually eroding their self-trust. So I wanted to just provide a little bit more information about why this is happening and why your nervous system and your attachment system are reacting this way. And then I'll end with just a question to ask yourself to help you navigate this, because I really want you to not question your avoidance and instead try to figure out, is there something that I need to communicate here? Usually like these alarm bells of like, I need to end it, this isn't working, are a waypoint, a signpost that it's time to communicate something. So I'm very excited to get into it. Before I do, I always have my check-in. And this week, I'm really excited to share with you all that this was the first week since pre-pandemic that I went to an event. I went out to an event. It was a gala. And I wore high heels for 3 hours. 3 hours? No, wait, 5 full hours. It was crazy. It was so wild. I have not done that in years, at least 4 years, probably five. It felt so fun. It was such a win. I had such a good time. I loved wearing my heels. And surprisingly, my feet did not hurt by the end, which I mean, they hurt, but like, I didn't have to take my shoes off at the event, which I was definitely expecting. So I just feel like that's a huge win. I don't know. Going out and seeing people and going to events and stuff like that, like it's just been a long time since I've done anything like that. So it was really fun. I had a blast. I should say too, that like even like post-pregnancy, like that's a big deal. Like wearing heels after having a baby. And then I recently bought my first pair of jeans after my pregnancy, which like I didn't even realize it was a big deal while it was happening. I was just like, oh, I need some jeans. I'm going to go get some like cute mom jeans that are like, you know, in style right now. And my coworker, my coworker was like, I have never seen you in a pair of jeans. My first time seeing you in a pair of jeans. I was like, holy shit. I can't believe it's been that long. And you're onto something here. And I told him, I was like, this is actually the first pair of jeans I've worn since before I got pregnant. Because when I got pregnant, I immediately got maternity jeans. So I had like that elastic waistband, which was so great. I feel like all clothes should have that. Very comfortable. I loved them. So now I'm back to a normal waistband, which, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I'm kidding. I'm enjoying them. But those are my huge wins for the week. And I am grateful that I got to share them here with you. Okay. Thank you for listening to my check-in. Let's get into this week's episode of how to know if it's time to end it or if you're being avoidant. So I want to start this episode by saying this episode is very much geared towards folks that are leaning more avoidant in the attachment spectrum. And that includes fearful avoidants that are leaning a little bit more avoidant. That's the attachment style that I healed from. And I share this episode because this is a huge question that I find a lot of avoidants constantly asking themselves. Like anytime they want to make a move or a separation, as soon as you start to learn about attachment style and you realize that the avoidant likes to avoid hard conversations, they tend to ghost or just end things. And they are very, like, they love to process by themselves. So as soon as they avoid and start to learn that, then they start to question their avoidant behavior, which like, let's give it up for you. You're learning about your attachment style. You're cognizant of these things. You're recognizing the patterns. Like all of that is so freaking huge. So give yourself some credit here. But yeah, once the avoidant does tend to end things, and they tend to end things without explaining why. So today I want to talk a lot about why you do this, all my dismissive avoidants out there and all my folks leaning dismissive avoidant, because this is a part of our attachment style. And so let's learn like why this is happening. So the avoidant, like I said, likes to process by themselves. They learned growing up that sharing and being vulnerable was not safe. They could have been like literally made fun of, mocked, or punished for having emotions or needs. They very much like fear rejection. If they put themselves out there, they don't want to be rejected. And they want this strong sense of peace in their life. They have such a strong desire for calm and peace. And so anything that disrupts that makes waves, it just isn't safe. And so when an avoidant is finding themselves in a situation where they need to share their needs or they have to share a boundary, that is really scary to them because it makes a wave in the otherwise, you know, ideally, hopefully calm, grounded environment. And so by voicing a need, you are then becoming a burden on someone else. Maybe it means that you're unlovable. Like we have all these stories about what it means to share a need. And so the avoidant will just completely avoid saying it. And what happens over time is when you avoid sharing your needs and your desires and what you want, as well as your boundaries, then this resentment builds up where this other person, you're not even giving them the instructions on how to best relate to you. That's what boundaries are. It's like you're giving them a manual. Like, this is how you can interact with me. This is what I love. This is what I need. This is how you can keep your gigapet alive. So you're sharing with them how best to interact with you to keep the relationship just safe and loving for you. And if you're not sharing that, what happens is you start to resent them. And that resentment will just build and build and build and build. I have so many examples of this in my life. I had, after college, I got into a habit of like befriending a friend group, really like, you know, loving them and just being like, this is it, and putting everyone else kind of on this pedestal and not sharing my needs or my boundaries. And eventually that wore away over time till I started resenting my friend groups, plural. Yes, I've done this many times. I'm sorry. Red flag walking here. And eventually what happens, or what I would do, is I would have all this pent up, built up resentment toward these people. And I would just start to ghost them. I wouldn't even tell them that I didn't want to be their friend anymore. I would just put distance between us. And eventually they would either confront me about it and I'd share, and then it would really be over, or they just got the hint and we just stopped being friends. So as you can tell in the story that I just told, there's a lot of information that I just wasn't sharing with others on how best to be my friend and to support me in my life. So the reason that I wanted to end things is because it was easier for me to put distance and avoid and ghost than it was for me to put my big girl pants on and actually share a need or a boundary. And looking back, I've lost so much from this. There's a huge cost of this, which means I've lost friendships that like didn't need to end. I've got like, there's history there. Like, there's a benefit to having a friendship with a history that navigates, you know, the ups and downs of what it's like to be in this human world. And I've lost that with those folks, and I've lost that connection with those folks. So it's a lot of friendships that I've lost because, unfortunately, I just didn't have the tools to actually say like, hey, that's actually not okay with me, or I would love if we did this because, I am a huge fan of going home early, or whatever my need was. So the avoidant ends things because they just don't quite have the tools to communicate and they don't feel safe bringing things up. And oftentimes what's happening here is the avoidant is taking on, as soon as they like share a need and then the other person has an emotional reaction, The avoidant will then take on that person's reaction and just really take the blame and feel like they're at fault. And then, you know, we have all these stories of there's something wrong with me, I'm bad, I'm behind. Like all of the stories can just start to bubble up when we're confronted with someone else's emotion. Because when things like, look, for the dismissive avoidant, your caregivers or your last relationship, whenever they had emotions, it just wasn't safe. For me, if there was any high emotional volatility, it was like, okay, I was a peacemaker and people pleaser. Like, let's make everything safe here. And let's just people please, so that these emotions will start to go down and not be as heightened, because I don't want it to go into the red zone, which was never fun and never safe. So that's why they tend to just avoid, put distance, because it feels safer. But honestly, in the long run, there's a huge cost to this. So I really want to get at like why this question is hurting you. The question of, am I being avoided in this situation? So if you have started to learn about your attachment style, you understand that, okay, I have this tendency to avoid. What happens is eventually you'll learn, okay, I'm in this situation where I want to end things. But I know that that is a common pattern for the avoidant. So how do I navigate this? Like, how do I know? And I just want to offer that this questioning is actually hurting your self-trust. You build self-trust by communicating your needs, sharing your boundaries, and having congruency with what you say you're going to do and then your actions. So when you say, okay, today I'm going to wake up on my first alarm, which never happens for me, and then I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes because I'm going to take care of me. Then I'm going to start my day, go, you know, make my coffee, have my breakfast, whatever it is, and then get to work. That congruency of this is my plan and now I'm going to execute that plan helps to build self-trust. And then another thing that helps to build self-trust is being able to go into any situation knowing that you are going to share your needs and speak up for yourself. That's a huge thing for the dismissive avoidant. It can't happen overnight, but it can happen with these little baby steps. And so when you're questioning yourself about, am I being avoidant, or is it really time to end things? If you draw this question out, it's actually eroding your self-trust, because it's questioning like your intuition and your like what you think is true. So it's really, really, really tough to get stuck on this question. And that's why I wanted to record the podcast today, because I want to help you move past that question. And I also want to just offer like, hey, there is nothing wrong with you. The reason you actually like put together these strategies during your childhood was to stay safe. You really were trying to protect yourself, and your instincts, your brain is just wired in this way to react this way. But truly, there is nothing wrong with you. This doesn't make you bad, and this doesn't make you like dysfunctional. This is just an old strategy that needs to be updated. And obviously, updating is totally possible. But this belief, you know, this questioning is actually going to wear away at this belief that it's even possible to change. So I want to offer one question for you to help you move through this process. And that one question is, can you ask yourself, when you find yourself wanting to cut and run, ask yourself, is there a need or a boundary that I can set here that would help me feel safer in this relationship before I end it? And if the answer is no, as in this person is not safe and I need to go, then you need to end it. And I know it's hard to end things, but I want you to like just try to get rid of this story that there's something wrong with you if you end it because you're an avoidant. Because no. We have so many opportunities to relate to other people, whether you're on the dating apps or meeting people in person or just living your life, where you're going to be in this situation with other people that might just not be the right fit for you or might not need as much of your attention and capacity as they want from you, which means It's up to you. You get to decide to end it. You're in charge here. And people tell you who they are, and it's up to you to listen. So if they're telling you who you are, and then you get stuck in the story of, oh my God, I don't want to be an avoidant if I end it, this means that you're like literally ignoring the signs that they're blatantly giving you about who they are. So I know it's really tough. It happens one decision at a time. Building that self-trust happens literally one choice at a time. And I just offer to you to ask yourself that question to help you get out of the choice. Because if the answer is yes, there is a need that I can share or a boundary that I could set that would help me make me feel safer, then I want you to start to think about what that would be and then take the steps to communicate it. And I know that's really hard, but that's why I want to help you. I'm a relationship and communication coach, and I help folks communicate their needs, their emotions, and their boundaries so that they are creating healthy relationships, either in their dating life or in their existing relationships. It's absolutely possible to start to show up in a healthy and secure way in any relationship, and I'd love to help you. If you're interested in learning more, you can apply to book a healthy relationship call with me. In this call, you'll learn about what common patterns are holding you back from showing up in a healthy way, and then the steps that it'll take for you to get there. You can book a healthy relationships call at sarahcohan.com/coaching. That's sarahcohan.com/coaching. And I very much look forward to seeing you there. If I don't see you on a call, I hope to see you right back here next week. Thanks so much.